Brethren, we live in a world where one of the great tragedies of our time is that there are so few really kind people. There are plenty of mean-spirited, hateful people, but very few who just take the time to be kind as a lifestyle. Yet, when you think about it, this is how every child of God is supposed to be. Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read a couple of verses. Verse 2, we'll start, and it says in Ephesians 4, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And then drop down to verse 32. You can read all those verses in between. They're all encouraging. But drop down to verse 32 and it says, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And so we can see this is obviously how we as true believers are to be. We also are told over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14 where it says, let all your things be done with charity. And everything we do is supposed to be done with that motivation, with that heart, with that attitude. But brethren, let's be honest. Many people are opinionated. They're self-centered, they're rude, or sometimes just plain mean in their dealings with us and with other people. And I know you know what we're talking about. We understand that. But this ought not to be, especially among true believers. I believe that our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, would have us to practice encouragement as we pass through this physical life. Now with that, if you would, go with me to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, we read, and Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas. It's a nickname. We refer to this man as Barnabas. It's really a nickname in that sense. But we're going to see this is a good name, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now we have in Acts early chapters here where others did this and he was one who did this, but it shows an attitude, it shows a heart, it shows some things about this particular man. These verses, we are introduced to this man we refer to as Barnabas. When this man appeared on the scene in the early days of the church, he stepped out of absolute obscurity. He's just introduced. Here he is. There's nothing else before. He just steps out, and here he is showing an example for us. And when he stepped off the stage of the church history a few years later, he exited doing goodwill as well. It was his life. This is the way this man was. In fact, the Bible records of this man's life and ministry in telling us that as a man, he had the heart to do good to all those with whom he came in contact. Today, what I'd like for us to take a look, into some things about the life of Barnabas. And let's see some things about why would he receive this nickname of Barnabas, which is really the son of consolation? By the way, this name, when you really understand, is very, very special. Go with me to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, and many of you are going to be familiar with this verse, but we're going to read it. In John 14 and verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, what does this got to do with Barnabas? The Greek word consolation comes from the same Greek word that is translated comforter, which refers to the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how that grabs you, but that grabs me. This man was known to be a person who obviously life was exhibited with the Holy Spirit being there, leading him, guiding him, and people could see it and they understood it to the degree that that's in essence what they're calling him. It refers to one who comes alongside of another to offer help and encouragement. Apparently, Barnabas had earned the reputation among the disciples of Jesus Christ as one who was a helper and an encourager of others. So I'd like for us to take some time to examine the life of Barnabas and see why he was called the son of consolation. And as we do this, I would also like all of us to think about it and examine ourselves and see whether or not we too might be classified as an encourager. A Barnabas, an encourager. Does that describe us? I hope so. So I'd like for us to take a look at some things from his life to see some, shall we say, points about some things about an encourager. One of them that we see right off is an encourager is one who has learned to reach out to others. He's someone who's going to reach out to others. You might say to encourage maybe even the desperate. Let me give you an example. Let's go over to the book of Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, in verse 26, we read, "And when Saul," whose name was changed later by God to Paul, "but when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him." Do you blame them? "And believe not that he was a disciple." They didn't believe he was a real believer. This man who was knocked down on the road to Damascus with papers in hand, the original James Bond, License to Kill, was going out. He had already done this before. He talks about it. He had caused people, true believers of God, to blaspheme. Lots of reasons, lots of speculation, maybe even could come to some real reasons out of the Scripture why Saul had done these things, but the fact is he had, and God, through Jesus Christ, reached out and touched this man's life. And I love this verse whenever he is on the way, like I said, papers in hand, license to kill, and he knocks him down and he says, "Lord, who are you?" What a humbling attitude. He knew this was somebody bigger than he was, and obviously it was something bigger than what he was even worshiping, apparently. And from that moment on, was any of us doubt? Well, if we were in Jerusalem, we might have, because they did. Verse 27 is the real key here. But Barnabas took him. He took Saul and brought him to, not just and introduced him to a couple of the people in the congregation, he brings him to the disciples. He brings him to the apostles, which tells us two things. One is, he was known by the apostles, Barnabas I'm referring to, and he had, that's one, and the second thing that we know about him is, he could get to them. He could go to them. He could talk to them, and they would listen to this man that they had named the son of consolation or Barnabas. And then it goes on and he says, "And declared unto them," this is Barnabas doing this, "and declared unto the apostles how Paul had seen the Lord in the way and that Jesus had spoken to Paul and how Paul had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus." Now, when was Paul in Damascus? When he was struck down. They take him on. He's blind. he can't see. One of the servants of God comes and anoints him, and God in the meantime is telling him things he's going to do. Apparently, he stays there and goes out and starts preaching Jesus is the Christ from day one out. And so Barnabas takes this man, and I think that we could see that he might have been a desperate person. Because he comes to Jerusalem and is not believed that he is really a disciple. Yet one person stood up and said, yeah, he is, and here's his story. And he takes them to the apostles, and they believe him. They believe him. So after Saul was converted, he tries to unite himself there with other disciples who were in Jerusalem. But because of fear and prejudice about Paul's past, they were afraid to allow him into the group. But this man Barnabas, an encourager, stood up for Paul and told the others about this man's amazing conversion. Barnabas stood up for one who, shall we say, desperately needed a friend at that particular time. So an encourager, one of the things that we see from the life of Barnabas is one who has learned to reach out to others. He or she is one who encourages the desperate. I think that Paul could have been described as desperate. Barnabas encouraged him. Does this describe us? Does this describe us? And we know the fact is, there is still a need for this kind of Christian today in the Church of God. Who is a real encourager? Who is going to stand up for the desperate? Who's going to be willing to take him to those who can do something about it? Who can get some things changed perhaps? But is there, and we need to make the effort and to take the time to reach out to those around us who seem to be lonely or those who seem to have been rejected by others. Primarily, I am referring to within the body of Jesus Christ. You've seen it, and I've seen it. Where there are people who have come among our midst who are desperate. And who is the one that will stand up for them? That's a Barnabas. That's an encourager. This is especially true and needed within the body of Jesus Christ today. We, as individuals, we need to do our best to make everyone who assembles with us feel as if they belong here. Now, do I believe that every person who comes through the doors of the body of Jesus Christ, you know, through the church on the Sabbath, are part of the body of Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. They're tares. The Bible says so. So, which shows us they're not really of us, but you know what? They are among us. And I don't think I have the gift to be able to say with absolute certainty, this person is a tare. Reject them and don't do anything with them. Now, I'm not going to always turn my back on every person because I'm going to take a look. I'm going to see. I'm going to believe the person to start with because they walked through the door that they have God's Spirit with them. But as the time goes on, we can see that there are some who may not. Or maybe they're just not as far along as they need to be. But what's an encourager going to do? What's a Barnabas going to do? They're going to encourage them. Because that's a desperate person in so many ways. Now, there's a lot of other cautions you could go in there, but I think we understand what I'm saying, that these people who come in, they need to feel as if they do belong, that they are welcome where we are and they are accepted. Every person who enters, you know, these doors on the Sabbath to come and join with us wherever we may be on the Sabbath, feel that they might have just returned home after a long absence. Maybe that's all it is. And maybe they're feeling desperate. And maybe they just need someone to be a Barnabas and to stand up for them. We need to love them. We need to welcome them. And we need to accept them into our services. There are times when there's caution. And I'm not dealing with that in this sermon. But there are those times when caution needs to be there. But I'm looking at the heart of the person who's going to go and meet this person and be there for them. That's the person that I'm dealing with in this. Allow me to ask a question of each one of us at this place. Does this describe you and me? Does this describe our lives and our practices? See, here's the answer. It's either yes or no. Because we either are a Barnabas, an encourager, or we're not. Are we an encourager? And I think we need to ask ourselves. Remember I said we need to examine ourselves through this and see where we fit in this? Are we an encourager, yes or no? Well, that's what Jesus did also. Do we see Jesus being anything other than an encourager? That's exactly what he would expect us to do as well. A second point that we can see about the life of an encourager is one who has learned to encourage their fellow believers, to encourage one another. That's the person who's going to be there for us. They're going to be there whenever I need to be encouraged. Somebody is going to be there. And we can count on an encourager to do that. What I'm trying to promote through the sermon today is by the end of it, we're going to all say, that's me. I may not have been an encourager, but count me in. That's what I want to start doing. I want to be an encourager. And so an encourager is one who encourages even their fellow believers. When the church in Jerusalem, this is an interesting story, if you really think about this story, when the church in Jerusalem heard that there was this new group of believers over in Antioch, they sent somebody over there to help these people along. Who did they send? Who would you send? Think of the story. Who would they send? They sent Barnabas. They didn't send the guy necessarily with the, you know, with the best mind. I'm not saying he didn't have the best mind. We don't have that. What we know him is that he's the encourager. But they sent the person who was the encourager, not necessarily that had all the doctrines 100% straight or had more verses memorized than anybody else. In fact, probably the person who had the best mind and more of the doctrine straight probably from the Bible and could quote more of the Bible than any of them there was probably Paul. They didn't send Paul. He was sent later, but they sent Barnabas. And I read this story, and I would send Barnabas, and I think we all would understand. So a question we need to ask ourselves in this context, would they send you? Would they send me? I would pray that we would be the ones sent, if you followed that line of reasoning, because that's what these people needed. Go to Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. There was a herd that there were these believers, these people who had stepped out and now they were believers, they were followers, that Jesus is the Christ. And so the disciples in the church in Jerusalem heard it. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Go there. Go to Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Cleave. It's the same word that talks about a husband and wife joining themselves together. It's the same kind of word. Probably the picture that we would get better, I'm not saying the Greek word here means this, but a better picture that we could see here is that they would cleave unto the Lord. Probably the better word is glue. That they would be glued to the Lord. So he goes there to encourage. Yo, they're on track. They've stepped out in faith and they've rejected where they came and have accepted Christ in the form of Jesus. They had accepted this as the Messiah. And so Barnabas goes to encourage them, now that you've done this, let's glue ourselves with purpose of heart that we're going to be glued to Jesus Christ in everything. The Bible tells us that when Barnabas arrived, he exhorted them. Now, do you understand what exhorted means here in this context? It means, you can look these words up, it means that he offered them encouragement. He didn't go there and get on to them. We tend to think about this word, you know, exhorted. Well, I'm going to exhort you. And we tend to think about it. Sometimes I've asked this of people and said, what do you think of when you hear the word exhort? Well, I think that it means we're not doing necessarily everything, maybe not square on, and we got to get it right. No, it means encourage. In this Greek, in this context here, it means encourage. He went there and he offered them encouragement. He was excited about what God was doing in Antioch, and he was excited that these new converts were serving God. And Barnabas did his best to encourage them to continue to serve God by having the right purpose in their heart for doing what they're doing. That's an encourager. That's an encourager. Brethren, this is a lesson here for us today. The lesson is we ought to do everything in our power, everything within our ability, everything within our talents and our gifts to encourage other believers in their walk in the Spirit. We need to praise God when others labor for Jesus Christ. And we need to gently, maybe even rebuke our brothers when they stray. And you didn't hear me say, oh, and that's the job of the ministry, did you? No, that's part of a responsibility, if you want to use that word, of an encourager. Because you see, when an encourager tells you that we're really not on the straight and narrow, you don't go away feeling like that you've been beaten up. You feel like you were just encouraged to do it right. And you want to do it now because, yeah, thank you. Thank you that you've shown me how to do this. Our duty to fellow believers is to help them to grow in the Lord and to be an encouragement to them. Why? That they will learn and they will be encouragers to others. Is passing it on, and just like what Jesus Christ has done. In Romans chapter 14, Romans 14 in verse 19, it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. That's an encourager. You know, somebody can tell you something out of the scriptures and says, well, here's a truth and you need to know this, da, 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 and you could feel that you've been beaten by the truth. Or a person who's encouraged can tell you the same thing, but with a different heart, with a different spirit, and you go, yes, yeah, this is right. This is where it's supposed to be. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says, wherefore, or therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Paul is writing this. He's an encourager by now. I don't know that he was an encourager or not before, but he became an encourager. I think by part of it is by being around Barnabas and seeing how to do this. And so he is telling them, even as you do, you are there, you do these things. Continue to do so. And we're to learn this. We're to do this. Another point about an encourager is one who has learned to encourage the discouraged. What do you tend to do? And I'm not asking for a show of hands, I'm not asking for comments, but I want you to think about it. What do we typically do when we meet somebody who is a discouraged type of person? I'll tell you the answer, because human nature is, we ignore them. And I mean even somebody who is within our midst. We ignore them. That's not what an encourager does. That's the guy who's going to be there. That's the person who's going to be there. And so we need to see this. Let's go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 and verse 36 we'll begin. In Acts 15 and verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take John Mark with them, who departed from them at another time and went not with them to the work. In other words, he didn't finish. He went with them on a prior trip, and he didn't want to finish it, and he didn't. And the contention was so sharp between them, between Paul and Barnabas here, that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. We know this contention is there. We know this happened. Does anything good come out of it? Oh, absolutely. Because you see, we see what Barnabas does as a result of this. Apparently, Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark were together on a missionary journey, and for some reason, and I can give you my speculations and even put some scriptures together, but anyway, for some reason, John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. You can see that in Acts 13 and verse 13. Now, Paul and Barnabas are ready to go out again on another missionary journey, and Barnabas wants to take John Mark along with them to give him a second chance. Paul disagrees, and he and Barnabas part company. Paul takes Silas and goes out with him, while Barnabas takes John Mark and disappears from the biblical account. He's not mentioned again. But what this man does, see, we side with Paul here, and the fact is, there are no sides. There are no sides. Because they both go out and do something that is very good. We just have the record of one. Oh, and what a record it is. I'm not putting down Paul at all, and I know you understand that. While Barnabas is never heard from again, his ministry to John Mark had far-reaching consequences. Because Barnabas gave this discouraged and defeated young man a second chance. Because that's what he does. That's what an encourager does. His life, John Mark's life as a servant of God, is perhaps salvaged. What if Barnabas would have said, okay, Paul, if that's what we want to do, let's just leave John Mark home. We may not have ever heard from John Mark again. Do we ever hear from John Mark again? Absolutely. Why? Because of this encourager, encourage this person who is down and out, discouraged, maybe even feeling defeated. In fact, before Paul died in Rome, he requested what? That Mark be sent to him. Let's go there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, interesting whenever you see how these two men departed with one another, and there's been written about them, and the controversy over it is that Paul just totally rejects John Mark and doesn't want anything to do with it. That's not what I read later, and that's not what we're going to read here. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, Paul is writing and he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him here with you. He's writing this to Timothy. He says, Timothy, only Luke is with me. Now I want you to go and get Mark, and I want you to bring him with you to come and see me, because John Mark, I'm reading it in, the name, the pronoun, because John Mark is profitable to me for the ministry. He's a helper. He's going to be somebody here that's going to be good for me, profitable to me. You think he became an encourager? Maybe. It doesn't say that. I think we can speculate and read it in. But he needed somebody that he knew was going to be there for him. You got to remember, Paul is in prison and he's been shipwrecked, he's been beaten, he's been left for dead. Let's rephrase this. He's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. he was killed, apparently, and God resurrected him, and he gets up and dusts himself off and does what? Flees to the next city? No, it goes right into the same town. You know, what an attitude, you know. Well, how many times can they kill you? How many times does God want to resurrect you? This is the way he looked at it. When God's through resurrecting me, then I won't go back in. But he wanted John Mark to be brought to him because, as it says, he is profitable to me. Probably wanted some encouragement. And he learned it from Barnabas. Even more important, perhaps, is the fact that because Barnabas took the time to encourage a discouraged brother, and yes, and I know they were related, that's not the point. I don't think that's why he took him. I think he took him because he was a man that needed to be out on these missionary journeys. Obviously, that's what Paul thought at the end of his life. Mark was used of God to write the Gospel of Mark. This is the same man. In fact, the first gospel message written was the Gospel of Mark. It's an exciting account of the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. This man was used later, probably really discouraged. This fight was over him. If you want to call it a fight, these two apostles had departed from one another because of John Mark's previous bailing out on them. How many times have we seen fellow believers fall by the wayside? Probably for many of us, too many. Our natural tendency as human is to wash our hands of them and go on. That's the human nature. God's plan, however, is far different. We are not to kick our brother when he is down, but we are to reach out to him, and we are in a spirit of love and humility to help him be restored to the place of right fellowship and service within the body of Jesus Christ. That's what an encourager does. We are to display an attitude of the Good Samaritan. I'm not going to go there. You know the story. If you don't, we can help you out with that later. But he goes to this story, Jesus goes to this story of this Good Samaritan, and he says, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. The Good Samaritan is one who stopped, he bound up the wounds, and he helped them to recover. That's an encourager. This is a person who was beaten up in the side of the road and left for dead, apparently. An encourager is the one who stops. We get this about the Good Samaritan, and we put so much focus on it that we're supposed to go and do. But what is it that we go and do? What did he do? He was an encourager. That's the bottom line. That's really what it was. Somebody was desperately in need, and somebody helped. Now, I ask myself this question a lot of times. Would I have stopped? Would you have stopped? Yet we find it so much easier to gossip about them. We find it so much easier to find faults about them. And we find it so much easier to hold their shortcomings against them for as long as we can. That's the human nature way. That's not the way of an encourager. Are these faults and these weaknesses and shortcomings, are they real? Sure they are. And the problem with that is, how does that excuse us from not helping? I don't see that it does. Because here's a question that I come down to and I ask myself. How glad am I that Jesus Christ is not that way? How many times have I done things that I'm so excited that Jesus Christ didn't give up on me? And you can put your own name there, and you can put your own stories there. Barnabas was an encourager. So how can we be more like Jesus Christ and the Good Samaritan?
Well, you look at the story and it becomes very obvious. Be an encourager. It's real simple. Be an encourager. Another thing that an encourager has learned, what he learns to do is he reaches out to others around him. That would include people in and out of the church or in and out of our, say, local congregation. It would be to reach out to others around us. Somebody who, like the Good Samaritan, who was his neighbor. Jesus said, well, who's his neighbor? Well, the guy who came in front of him. And this doesn't necessarily have to be just within the body of Jesus Christ. There are times. Now, I understand there has to be a whole lot of caution in our society today to do that. You know, several years ago, we would be up here and in this and doing this sermon several years ago, we could have probably said, and if you see that hitchhiker, you might want to stop and pick him up. No, you don't stop and pick him up today. But you can stop down the road with your cell phone if somebody is destitute and looks like there's something that they can be done. The service, the heart of an encourager does not merely reach out to those around him, but it does include those, but it does limit it there because it will also reach out upward toward God as he carries out his part of the work of God that God has given him to do in his life. And again, I'm not limiting this to the ministry. Did you hear me say that I was limited to the ministry? You didn't hear me say that. Because here's the point. All of us have a work to do in the work of God. I understand. We are the work of God. And we all have a part. And one of the big parts is be an encourager. Make no mistake about it, brethren. We all have work to do. The encourager uses his spiritual gifts and talents and love for God and for God's people. That's what Barnabas did. We read that earlier. I'm not going to read it again, but that's what Barnabas did. And we see that heart of this person back in Acts chapter 4, 36 and 37. This is when it tells who he was, that he was nicknamed Barnabas by the apostles, apparently. And then he had land and he sold it to further the work of God. Now, I'm not implying everybody, you know, I'm not implying anybody needs to sell their property. You know, I'm not implying that. But there was a time when that was needed. There may be a time whenever that is needed, but that's not my point. My point is to have the heart to do our job, whatever that is to being part of the body of Jesus Christ and the work of God. The first impression that we are given about Barnabas is that he is a man who gave of himself freely. He owned land. It was needed for the church, for the work in that sense. He sold it and he brought the money and laid it at the disciples' feet, at the apostles' feet. You remember the story about the husband and wife? The husband comes in and says, well, this is it. And he went, why are you lying? You know, you didn't lie to me. You lied to God. You lied to the Holy Spirit. This isn't all you had. You had it all. You didn't have to do it. They weren't being made to do this. They would know what the need was. And Barnabas is a person who had this, saw the need, and he had it, and he gave it. It's the heart. It's an attitude. He gave of his goods to see that the church and the work at that time would go on. He used the things at his disposal to enhance the work of God. That could be our talents. That could be our abilities. This describes how we ought to do as well. We ought to strive to give of our time, and yes, to give of our tithes, that's biblical, and yes, of our talents so that the church can prosper. When we give of ourselves, others are then encouraged to do the same. Aren't you encouraged whenever you see somebody who's really this real outgoing type person? You may come away and say, yeah, well, that's the way they are, but I'm not really that way. Well, we can be, but that's not my point. But aren't you really encouraged by a person who does that? And most people are. They may not want to emulate this person, but they're impressed by this and they like this. And there is another reason for being the encourager, because others may learn to be that way as well. I want to go back to Acts 11, beginning in 23. We read part of this a little bit ago. This is whenever he was sent to Antioch, but there's more to that story that's recorded. In verse 23, and he says, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Verse 24. So that's where I stopped a while ago. Listen to this. "For he was a good man," this is describing Barnabas, "and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." I asked earlier, whenever you think about this, there's this new little group that's trying to get together. Who are you going to send? The biblical account shows real plain. You send the guy who's the encourager. Not necessarily. I mean, I don't know how his talents were. I don't know if he was the best speaker or the lousiest speaker. I don't know if he had more memory verses or less. I don't know any of that. What I know is why they sent him, because he was an encourager. Because that's what these people are needing, and this is what they did. And what does it say about this man? "And much people were added unto the Lord." We're not done. 25. "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." I'm not going to hold this to myself. I'm going to go get somebody else who's going to rejoice in this also. Verse 26. "And when Barnabas had found Saul, he brought him unto Antioch." He goes and he leaves and he goes to Antioch. He goes from Antioch, he goes to Tarsus, and he finds Saul and he says, "We got a work we can do. We need to be encouraging these people and strengthening and building these people up." "And he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples," and listen to this, "and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." It wasn't a favorable term. And I think that it was not a favorable term because of what these two men now together were doing in that area, and people's lives were being changed. And they didn't want that in that area. "When Barnabas had seen all that God was doing in Antioch, he went out to find Paul and to share the news with him." You see, Barnabas, as an encourager, refused to keep the good blessings of God quiet or to keep them to himself. So we learn something else about an encourager. That's someone who's also going to share it. You stay away from my territory. I'm the official encourager here in this congregation. Nobody else entrenches. No, they go and get others to do it. They go get others to join in. And you know, brethren, it is good when God gives us someone who is willing to go out into the world and brag on what Jesus Christ is doing. That's what an encourager is going to do as well. You see, they know it's not about them. They know that it's not about them. They know that it's about God. And they have this, and they understand this, and they're going to go out and they're going to tell others, and then they're going to go get others to come with them so it grows and so more people, as Christians and as true believers, as it says in another place, turn the world upside down. Barnabas would have been a type of person who would have been part of that. You see, there are enough whiners and there are enough bellyachers. We need some that will exalt, who will lift up the work of God. We need some that will lift up God the Father and Jesus Christ before others, openly if necessary, willingly as is needed, but not shying away from that. And that's going to take a person who's a real encourager. Because like I said, they know something that many other people don't know, and that is, it's not about them. It's about God. It is about God. Go with me to the book of Acts again, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. It's Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. All these people were there. This is during this period of time. This is during this year when they're out doing these things. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereof I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they were sent away. Barnabas and Saul were sent away. What it's telling us is this is when they were ordained and set apart as apostles. And they all understood it. So we can see from this that an encourager is one who is going to participate in the work of God. Barnabas, as well as Paul, but Barnabas was chosen by the Holy Spirit to be actively involved in God's work as an apostle. This decision, this action that took place on this day in the writing of here, and that happened, it changed the course of his life forever. And I really believe that one of the main reasons for it is because he was a man of God and he was an encourager. And that's what God needs. And so he sent him out to do that. From that moment on, everywhere Barnabas went, he was a servant of Jesus Christ. I think the lesson for us is obvious. No matter where we go in this world, we are servants of the Lord. Whether we be at home, whether we at work, whether we be in town, whether we be at school, whether we be at vacation, whether we be at church, no matter where we are servants and we are sons of the living God. And as a result, we are to act and to live accordingly. When we do that, we serve as an encouragement to others to do the same. When we do this, we serve God with enthusiasm and zeal. When we do this, we stand as an encouragement to others. Therefore, when it comes time to, I'll use the phrase, go to church, to assemble ourselves together, and you're an encourager. When we come together to praise and worship and honor God on the Sabbath day and on the holy days and any other time that we assemble ourselves together as the body of Jesus Christ, and we do our job for God. We're not doing it to be seen. We're doing it because we know this is not about us. We know this is about God. And so we do this. And so when we do this, when we come together to do our job for God, have a heart, have an attitude of arrive early, arrive alert, arrive prepared, and arrive excited, and arrive ready to serve God, and whatever it is that God is wanting us to do in that day, at that moment, at that time. Show the people how much you enjoy what it is that you are doing. And if you don't like, what it is that you are doing, if you really don't like it, then ask God to restore your joy, or simply ask God that He will find you another job to do to which you can serve Him. And God will do that. I really believe that God will answer that. Go with me now to Acts chapter 12 and verse 25. Acts 12:25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had finished their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So we see something from this as well about an encourager. An encourager finishes that part of the work that he has to do of God. He finishes it. He stays in. He stays till it's done. This verse tells us that Paul and Barnabas fulfilled their ministry. That's what it says. And so they returned to Jerusalem. Now they started over, and then they departed from one another later, and we've already gone through that, but Paul went one way and Barnabas does another, and the work grew as a result of that. They stayed with the work until the work was finished, and as such, they stood as an example of encouragement to those around them. We read this earlier, but I want to repeat it again here in Acts chapter 11 and verse 24. For Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And from that, what we see is an encourager demonstrates Jesus Christ by his life. Jesus Christ is seen through an encourager. We don't look at the person. We look at Jesus Christ in this person. That's what the apostles saw in this man. That's why they named him what they named him. That he was an encourager. That he, you know, one that went alongside to help. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When you look at the word comforter and you look in it and then down in verse, you know, a couple of verses later over in John 14, and it says, and the comforter is the Holy Spirit. When it's describing the comforter, it's the same word. That's what they saw. Wouldn't you like that to be seen about you? I would. I would. This verse indicates that Barnabas was a genuine man of God. He possessed all the characteristics that marked him as being on fire for God. It could be stated that his life served as an encouragement to being holy and blameless. Brethren, our lives are to stand as an encouragement to lead others deeper into their walk in the Spirit. And we are to do this by getting ourselves as close to God as we can. When others see God working in and through our lives, they can be challenged and they can be encouraged to seek the Lord for themselves and to become more like God. But just seeing our lives, that's an encourager. I want to be more like that. So how does one go about getting closer to God and being this way? Only through very hard work. The only way this is possible is for the believer to immerse himself in the work, in the Word of God, in other words, through Bible study, to spend time in prayer, and to turn his back on the world. Is it possible? Yes. Is it easy? No. Is it worth it? Absolutely. God's promise to us is that when we strive to get closer to Him, He will draw closer to us. That's a promise. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, James 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God, and God will think about it, and perhaps He will, maybe He will. That's not what it says. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Do we believe that? Do we live our lives based upon that? I hope so. Oh, we believe it, and hope we're living our lives based upon that. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. An encourager also displays contentment in his life because he knows his life is not his own. You see, we've been bought with a price. And that day that we crawled into that watery grave, we died. And we think this is still ours. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And if we're trying to hold on to it, then we don't see the picture 100%. An encourager like this that I'm referring to is one who understands that. This is not my life anyway. We crawl into that watery grave and we're dead. So what it pictures, dead. But then we are resurrected to a new life, and it's not us. It's Jesus Christ living in us. And so we move forward and we do this. And so obviously the end result is there is contentment in our life. Yes, but there's all these horrible things that are going to happen. Yeah, and what does this got to do with it? What does this have to do with it? It's bad things happen, and they will. It just gives us more opportunity to praise God and to worship God and to lift up holy hands and, you know, and tell others about how awesome God is, how mighty God is, and how he did this and how he's doing this other thing. Barnabas, along with Paul, was preaching the word of God, and as a result, persecution arose around them. See, bad things happen when you're doing good things for God. And they were forced to leave town. So instead of being discouraged and quitting, as many others would have done, they shook the dust from their feet and they went on their way rejoicing. Rejoicing. I love the story in the Old Testament. It has nothing to do with this, but I love the story in the Old Testament whenever the army of God is going out and they're obviously outnumbered, outmanned, outgunned. And so the king sends their corral out in front of them. It's an awesome story whenever the king sends out the people with the sheet music instead of guns first to praise God. They're going into a battle when they know, humanly speaking, they can't win it. But they go into the battle knowing it's already theirs. Well, that's the kind of heart we're supposed to have. That's what an encourager has, because they understand. Again, it's not about them. They understand that. This way, this stands as an encouragement to others and to us. And as we go through battles in our lives, we are encouraged by how God deals with these things. If you look at it from the human point of view of, well, woe is me, we've got to look at ourselves again with the watery grave. I'm not saying that we're not baptized. I'm not saying we don't have God's Holy Spirit. I'm not saying we don't understand the truth. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we need to refocus maybe on ourselves and think about where we are. This is not about us. We're dead. I'm living another life, and so are you. We show the true depth of our faith when we are in the valley. Psalm 23, ring any bells? Yea, though I walk through the valley of all of these wonderful things going on around me. Listen to what it says. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? You want to join me? Fear no evil. Why? Because God's with me. We show how real our faith is to God by how we react to difficulty and hard times. It's easy when everything is easy. We need to always seek to rejoice in adversity by expressing joy and faith in God. In the book of Job, now, there's a lot of controversy about Job and all of this. I'm not dealing with that part of it, but I'm just talking about just one little aspect of Job's life. They've destroyed all of these things, all of these, his children, and all of these horrible things have happened in his life. And he says something just absolutely mind-boggling to the human mind. And he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But it's the next phrase. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's okay. There's going to be difficult times. Job understood that. His focus was on God. This is an attitude. This is the heart of an encourager as well. And when we do this, we will tend to be an encouragement to those around us. I keep going back to this, but that's what our lives are as an encourager. Our faith and our joy will help others when they face difficult days also. I look at Barnabas, and I come to realize that I may not be as far in the level that he was. I want to be. So how far are you? But this is what I do know. Wherever we are, and if we have God's Holy Spirit, as we do, then I also understand this. I do know that we really do want to be an encourager. Because when we make the statement, I want to be more like Jesus Christ, that's what you're saying. That's one of the aspects of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you want your life, wouldn't it be a good thing for our lives to be remembered as an encourager? And the answer is yes. The correct answer is yes, we would. And so, as so, then it's going to require that we learn to rethink the priorities of our lives. And the priorities would be God is going to be first. Others will come second, and we, on an individual basis, will come last, if at all. Because how much is this other there? It is about God. It's not about us. Now, we may ask, well, where's the benefit in that for me? Well, the benefit lies in the truth that when we make these changes that are necessary to become an encourager, God will be glorified. Others will be edified, and we will be rewarded. Maybe in this life, maybe not, but we will be rewarded. Maybe it's going to be when Jesus Christ comes and brings us into his kingdom with him. Brethren, what I ask, what I pray is that we will all be true encouragers. Just like Barnabas, just like all of the examples of the people in the Bible who are encouragers. God bless you all to become encouragers. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Well, I ask God to bless each and every one of us to be true encouragers with those around us, with one another, and even offering ourselves as encouragement and encouragers to God the Father and Jesus Christ, because we want to be more like they are.